The following podcast may contain adult language and an abundance of chat. So get ready, nerds, because we're talking season 2, episode 7, The Queen's Speech. Welcome and thank you for joining us on another episode of the Salty Nerd Podcast. Today we're talking about our favorite Apple TV show, episode 7, The Queen's Speech. I'm joined, as always, by my fantastic panel of nerds. Matt Vader 74 is here. Welcome, sir.
Hey,
that beard is looking good.
I know, dude. Isn't it good?
It's great. Really,
it's getting there.
It is. I watched your video that you put out yesterday and I was like, damn, that beard looks freaking dope.
I know. It's just my floating beard. Black background.
Yeah. Jude is also here. Welcome.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
I'm good. Just sitting here getting a good old eye full of Vader's beard.
And our frustrated producer, Matthew Kadish. Welcome, sir.
I'm very excited to talk about this penultimate episode.
Drink.
I just got water.
It's just tea today.
I just did two shots.
We all did shots. So.
Yeah. This is the second to last episode of the season. Next episode is the season finale. So a lot was set up.
Sad that it's ending already.
I know. Super fast. It did go by fast. Seasons. They're like quarter seasons. I'm still old school. I still think a season is
25 episodes.
Yeah. So,
well, these are full hours. So if you split it up, it's actually 16 episodes.
Star Trek was full hours. They were 24 episodes.
That's true.
Buffy gave us like 20 episodes in a season. They were all hour episodes.
This show's really expensive. All right, guys. Before we get into it, full spoilers, of course. If you haven't watched the episode, go watch it and then come back and check out the video. But real quick, we'll take a quick break, listen to some sponsors. We'll be right back. We'll get right into it.
Planning on traveling this summer? Make saving at the pump part of your plans with 2x the fuel points from Harris Teeter. It's easy. Download your eVic coupon, and for every dollar you spend with your Vic card, you'll get 2 fuel points. That's up to $1 per gallon on quality fuel at participating BP and Harris Teeter fuel centers. Download your eVic coupon today and save money at the pump all summer long with eVic and Harris Teeter fuel points.
Money is the number one cause of stress and the number two cause of divorce. Make your money go further and work harder with a certified financial planner from Facet Wealth. Financial planning used to focus on retirement, but Facet helps you with today. You get a dedicated financial planner that guides you through every financial decision. Inflation, interest rates, stock market changes, home prices. How do you figure it all out? Well, every advisor at Facet is a certified financial planner and fiduciary. That's just a fancy way to say they have the best training and they're legally bound to do what's in your best interest. This isn't just about investments. It's about taking care of your money so you can start living a better life today. Facet has a simple flat fee, no hidden charges, and with nothing to sell, there are no commissions. Visit tryfacetwealth.com for 2 months free off your first year of financial planning. That's tryfacetwealth.com. Facet Wealth is an SEC registered investment advisor. This is not an offer to buy or sell securities, nor is it investment, legal, or tax advice.
Oh, we could fly.
This is your summer. That means Six Flags and the taste of an ice-cold Coca-Cola. We're talking thrilling coasters, delicious burgers, yes, real moments together, and this. Coke is summer refreshment when you need it most, so you can hop on another ride or race down a slide at the water park. Six Flags and Coca-Cola. Come make it yours. Visit sixflags.com/coke to save up to $20 on passes, plus daily tickets starting at $34.99.
Welcome back, everybody. Hey, if you want to support the podcast, if you love what we do here and you come to us for your C reviews, consider supporting the podcast. Go to saltynerdclub.com. There you will get 4 exclusive podcasts every single month. Right now, we are reviewing the spoiler videos for Foundation, the new Apple Plus TV show, and that's for members only. So if you want to jump in on that, go to saltynerdclub.com, become a membership. You also get exclusive Discord access where we have a ton of fun. We have a great community over there. We do watch parties. We figured that out. We do watch parties. We fixed the glitch that was happening with Discord, and we also do video game stuff, and we chat with those guys every single day, and they get to suggest shows that we should watch and all kinds of cool stuff. So join the community, join the club, help support us, and we would love it. It's awesome.
Apple TV, man.
Apple TV.
Man, they're doing some stuff over there.
They're putting out some quality content lately. Yeah. All right, let's get into this. Matthew Kadish, take it away, sir.
All right, so season 2, episode 7, The Queen's Speech. A lot happened this episode.
Mm-hmm. Great episode.
Setting up the finale. So tack, 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 everyone.
Tack, tack.
All right. Tack, 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 tack.
Jack.
God, freaking Witchfinder. This is the first time. No, maybe not the first time.
Aren't we supposed to hate the Witchfinder?
I don't care.
Good guys now, right? Yeah, it was Witchfinder.
Yes. I mean, the Witchfinders are not good, but we've always kind of liked
them. Yeah, they're pretty badass.
You know, kill those stupid.
I mean, I always go back to that scene in season one where they're on the river and they're just like,
oh yeah.
They're like whipping their ropes around and Tamaki Jun's just taunting them. I know you're there.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, cool. Who do you like more? Kofun or Tamaki Jun?
Tamaki Jun. Sorry, Kofun. Feels so bad.
You're being a little bitch. Maybe we'll like you more.
Tamaki Jun.
No. God damn it, Kadesh, stop.
Well, tell us about the episode.
Sibethun?
What? No.
No, it's cocaine.
Cocaine. Oh, that's right.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead, Kadesh. Take it away, sir.
All right. So we had a hell of an opening to this episode. Oh, yeah. So we open in the throne room in Pensa, where Queen Kane sees her desired war with Trevantes ratified. But before Queen Kane can convene her war council, Magra begins her coup and Tamakta Jun reveals himself. Yes. Tamakta Jun takes control of Kane's Witchfinder army and reveals the queen was the one who destroyed Kanzua, finally.
Oh, I just got shivers running all down me.
The Witchfinders, Magra and Harlan, all turn on the queen and all back up Tamakta Jun's claims. The queen demands a trial, but thanks to declaring war, authority has been transferred to the generals. And as Tamakta Jun is about to behead the queen, Paris totally ruins everything by claiming she's a child, a new child, and the baby should not be killed for the sins of the mother. Now, when we were watching this, we were like, they're going to kill the queen.
Yeah, I was on the edge.
I was like, oh shit, is it happening?
When he took out that giant sword, he was like ready to hack her head off. I was like,
he was ready.
No way.
I was ready for it.
Yeah, yeah. I would have, if they would have done it,
it was bad.
That would have been the freaking Ned Stark shit.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, God, I would have freaking freaked out.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I get why they're not, because they got to prolong this. This
drama.
Baby, this
otherwise,
baby
that
drama.
Whole thing with Kofu was for nothing, and that would have pissed me off.
Yeah. Because, you know, he's got to come out and say, well, yeah, mom, dad, I totally banged my aunt.
His face during this whole thing. God, he's sitting there like shitting his pants. Oh, shit.
He was slouched in his chair, hands on his knees, and his whole face was saying, oh, shit. Yep. Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
If I was Kofu, right? When that was all going down, I would have just been slinking out of the room. Mm-hmm. I would have found the closest horse that I don't know how to ride, and I would have been gone. Uh-huh. I would have gone to Detroit or whatever, and I would have just
fucked off,
made myself a new home somewhere.
Oh man!
And said, "I'm out. you guys can have my six-toed prince and be good with it. So I'm done.
Six-toed prince.
I'm gonna go make sighted babies with."
Somebody else.
Yeah, that's not my aunt.
A Detroitian.
Oh, this scene was freaking dope. And also, it's something that we've been begging this show to do. We're like, because we all talked about, I think it was like last episode or episode before that, we were like, why is anybody following Queen Kane?
Right.
She literally has no power.
None.
Nobody is on her side. Mm-hmm. And we were like wondering how long this facade was going to go on for. And then in this episode, it all came crashing down.
I'm still waiting for the other shoe to drop because we've all kind of like headcanoned, does she have like her fingers in other armies in other places? I'm still wondering if there's a connection with her in the Gannites. So we'll see.
It's like Queen Kane, like she is quite shrewd.
Yeah.
So like, I find it odd that she would get into a war that she knew she couldn't win. Mm-hmm. Just for the hell of it.
Yeah.
Like it seems like she would have a plan to not only, you know, blame the Trevantians for this destruction of Kanzua, but if she was going to go to war with them, have like a plan to win.
Yeah. So based on the information that we all know that is out in the open, like everything that Tamakta Jun has done was successful, mm-hmm. but we don't know what information that the queen has.
Yeah. What was interesting is like before she could convene her war council and like reveal her strategy, the coup happened. And that moment when Tamakta Jun just comes walking out and like, she hears his voice and she's like, I thought you were dead.
She was shitting her pants too.
Oh my God, Slade.
You don't remember when I put that dagger in your chest?
Well, technically like, that was Boots.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
She's like, I killed the person who tried to kill you. That should buy me some points.
Yeah. Tamaka Jew's not having it.
Yeah.
But I love that they call her out on the whole thing. Like this, the whole house of cards that fell down on her this episode.
Yeah, and awesome. Like when Magra turns on her and then Harlan turns on her and she's like, arrest that. And Harlan's just like, no,
we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
And like, I know nobody can see it, but like Tamakta Jun is looking good in this episode.
Yeah.
He like, He comes in with his chest out, like he's somebody.
Oh, he's somebody.
All new shit on.
Yep.
Got his beard combed and looking good. Yeah, yeah. He had some oil in there.
He had like a Brazilian blowout done on that
day. I got a good for my moment here.
Yeah. All right, what happens next, Katie?
Well, can we just like poo-poo on Paris for like...
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, God, sure.
This bitch.
Stop. I mean... Somebody had to do it, guys.
Who's like, it would have been magic powers. So I can tell that somebody's pregnant.
What do you think would have happened if Tofu, if Kofun said that instead of Paris, was like, stop, she's my woman or whatever. Like, do you think
a baby in that?
Do you think they would have been like, not kill her anyway?
No, I think Baba Voss would have just went up and stabbed me.
Yeah. What?
Here's the thing. Here's what a weak bitch Kofun is. And it really comes to a head later on when he has like his moment with
King. God.
But like that whole time, he knows they're going to fucking murder her.
And she's like, whatever.
And he's just sitting there like, ooh,
oh, thank God.
Uh-oh. And he does fucking nothing to save her life. He's a weak bitch.
Yeah, that was.
He calls it later.
Well, he's 17. Yeah, he does. 18, whatever.
However, he's been trying for 2 years to be like, I'm a man, and also I can see, therefore I'm superior.
Yeah, and then when shit hits the fan, he's just like,
yeah. His bones all go wormy and he just slithers down in his chair
We've all been in a relationship with a girl that we don't know how to break up with.
this was his out. He's like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, this idiot put a ring on it.
I remember that relationship. I dropped her off and then I went to my future wife's house.
Oh, nice.
That moment. So I'm done.
Get out of my car.
I'm going to my wife.
Yeah, this was Kofun's new phone who just started.
I don't know her.
I don't know.
He swiped right.
Yeah.
I feel a little bad for Archie. How do you say
his last name? I don't know how to say his last name.
Ndukwe or something like that, right? I don't know, but the writers have done a great job.
Of making us not like him.
Making us hate him. I feel bad for the guy. I really do. But, you know, it's not his fault.
I can't say anything about his acting, though, because he did have an oh shit face on during that. Sure. Like, he sold it.
He got that blank look.
He was just like,
it's like,
oh, no.
No, 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 no.
We're not taking shots at the actor. No. He's doing a great job with what his character is. We're making fun of the character.
Yeah. For sure.
And, well, it was also funny because before that, Hanawa was like, we got to do something to stop with him. Baba Voss is just like, don't worry. We got this covered.
This is all going to play out.
All right. What happens
I still
next?
Get irritated with Hanawa, who's like just talking at full voice. She's lying. Like, bitch.
Everybody else can hear you.
Zip it.
Yeah. Use your indoor voice.
Yeah. You do the palm thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know how to do the sign language palm thing.
She needs to do that more often.
Yeah. Use your inside brain voice.
Yeah. What do they do? They go, I'm going to.
He's been dying to do that.
Anytime he gets an excuse to touch Jude's hand.
I just told her my whole life story.
Oh, okay, uh-huh. Cool.
How dare you?
You want to do what?
Yeah, how's the not adaptation of my book coming?
Oh, it was done weeks ago. I just forgot to bring it in. It's like three knots.
5,000 page book.
Yeah. It's a couple of knots.
All right. Kadesh, take it away, sir. What happens next?
All right. So Tamakta Jun imprisons Queen Kane as Magra assumes command. Then we hear the horn of Woodvale and know that the village has fallen to the Trevantians. Ido Voss's army leaves Woodvale in flames, having taken zero casualties and moving faster than anyone believed possible, thanks to Ren's sight. Despite their success, Ren pleads with Ido not to reveal her sight to the council. But Ido says he will protect her because she's like a daughter to him.
Hmm. So having somebody at the front that can see is efficient.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that how it works?
Apparently.
Man, you would think, right?
Crazy.
Never thought.
Wow.
But they can't tell you exactly how many horses and soldiers they have from that 6 miles away.
This is true. That's a they are disabled.
Those Ariers.
God, that is like.
I hate that word.
I can't say it for the life of me.
So we actually had someone from the production message us a phonetic spelling.
Iura.
Iuras.
I'm going to forget it again in 2 seconds.
Yeah, they really needed an easier thing to remember and pronounce.
I need to go. I'm the sighted handicapped person.
Yep.
Yep.
I'm going to go get some steel spoons and like put them in my head.
Forehead. Yeah. Whoa, maybe that'll
maybe,
help.
Maybe
that'll
dude,
help.
Those strings that they have, that's pretty freaking cool.
They are pretty dope looking.
It's pretty dope looking.
I'm going to pierce my nose.
Yeah. There you go.
Gauge it.
Big old gauges so you can smell everything. Vader's here.
Yeah. that's hot, babe.
They have a very pungent scent.
Peacock feathers and horseshoe.
Yeah, exactly. That's the Vader scent.
Okay. Yeah, but what I thought was interesting, you know, with Ito's relationship with Ren is that both Voss brothers have adopted daughters who can see. Mm. And you're seeing like the difference in how Baba Voss has his relationship with Hanawa and Ito has his relationship with Ren. And the daughters are like totally into each other.
Yeah.
And it's a very weird family dynamic going on.
They're kind of cousins, but whatever.
Not just in name only.
Yeah, name only. Thank God.
Yeah, you make a really good point. That's very interesting that like Ito has put his daughter at the front of the line, mm-hmm. at the front of the military, and Baba's trying to keep his completely out of the war.
Yeah.
Like, but we've all established that like Baba's making some mistakes in regard to that by keeping his children away from violence.
Yeah.
He's not allowing them to adapt to it.
He's softened them quite a bit compared to somebody like Ito, who is like, you're in the war, you're in it, you're gonna learn how to fight blind and sighted.
Yeah. Thank God Hanawa has a bloodlust.
I know, right?
Yeah, thank God she's like not completely useless.
Mm-hmm. That would be a bummer. But it's I don't know. I feel like Baba Voss, he's trying so hard to stay away from this. And we get to the conversation that he has with Magar in a minute is really in depth. I like that. But how far away are we from that? Because I really want to talk about it.
we're not too far.
Okay.
All right. So back in Pensa, Harlan estimates that the Trevantians will reach Pensa in 5 to 6 days. Hanawa reveals that Trevantians have sighted soldiers guiding their armies, which explains how they are moving so fast. Tamakta June suggests taking a stand at the Green Hill Gap Fortress to prevent the Trevantian battalion from reaching Pensa. Captain Gossett estimates the Trevantian battalion at 250 men, which is small by Trevanti standards, but still bigger than Pensa's army. Magra orders the army to Green Hill Gap, and Hanawa and Kofun decide to go with the army to help level the playing field. Baba Voss and Magra strongly disagree with this decision, but Harlan says they need this advantage. Hanawa and Kofun defy their parents and decide to go with the army, and Magra reluctantly agrees. Though Baba Voss doesn't like it, he is powerless to stop his children from marching to war, so he decides to accompany them into battle to protect them.
Mm. I'm really enjoying this inner politics of like this weird family dynamic. Mm-hmm. We've never seen the kids listen to their parents ever. Like even from season one, they never did it. So it's as per usual for them. They're like, we're going to go. And everybody's like, no, you're not. Like, you can't stop us.
And I'm glad that I don't know if it would happen in this conversation or in the next one, but I'm glad that at some point during this episode, Magra has made it a point to say they're adults now.
Yeah.
Like they're not children anymore.
Yep.
Yeah, they're having sex, doing all types of drugs.
Do you think she knows?
They're both banging family members.
You think Paris like spilled the beans to Magra? Like,
I mean, full on smelled Kofun's fingers.
Yeah.
She knows whose baby that is.
You didn't remember that?
You didn't see that?
She like grabbed Tofu's hand and was like, you've been with the queen.
Yeah.
You don't remember that? Oh my God, dude.
No. God damn.
It was great.
Yeah, Paris knows everything about what the twins are up to.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like she never tells
except for Margaret like, what's anything. The right call? Ever.
She's kind of been missing the mark
lately. She's a very
don't
bad
teach Kofun how to fight.
Yeah.
Stop from beheading the queen. Teach Jirla Morel how to be a real big dick. Not making great calls.
Well, one of the interesting things about Paris protecting that baby is she's dedicated her life to protecting those who have sight, and that baby is going to be able to see.
You make a
good
point.
And so she needed to save that baby. So like, I wish they had explained that in the show. Like just have a moment with Paris where she's like, that child will have sight. I am dedicated my life to protecting people with sight.
If she did that in front of everybody, then it would be giving away who's the father, which she might be trying to protect.
Or at least just tell Magra that.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah.
And watch Magra's horrified expression on her face. Oh, God.
Magra would lose it.
She's going to. She's got to find out.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see that scene. That's going to be intense.
That'll be intense.
To her, I like just, you did what now?
Yeah.
You're banished from the kingdom.
I have things to say about the scene where like Queen Cain demands that, Kofun claim the baby, but we'll get to that.
We'll get to there.
Yeah. So at the Trevantian camp, Ito pays off a mysterious looking badass to go off and do something murdery. Ren asks who that man was, and Ito tells her that she should pray she never has to find out.
Yeah, these were like the freaky looking dudes with the metal shavings in their head, right?
Blue head plates.
Yeah.
They were cool.
Really weird. I'm wondering, so they're assassins. And also, if you notice how they move through the palace later on, they're very, very silent.
Yeah.
So they're almost like shadows.
Shadow assassins.
They're ninjas, man.
Ninjas. But I gotta know what the backstory is with the metal stuff in
there. I
think
it's just decoration.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I liked how they were like, say you hear.
Oh, yeah, that was a nice touch.
And Ito's just like, do I have to?
I have a theory on the metal. So a lot of the people in this world are using echolocation, but if you have to be silent, you can't. So you're relying on things bouncing off and hitting the metal and vibrating into your skin to tell you where things are.
So you think they're using it as like a tuning fork, like a sounding board? Okay.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Magra likes her tuning fork.
I love that she has her little thing. She just blocks the world out. I love it. And she used it. She used it as a weapon this episode too. It's cool. All right, we'll get there. Go ahead, Kadesh.
All right, so in the morning, Kofun goes to confront Queen Kane about the bun in her oven. Kofun asks if the baby is his, and Queen Kane is like, duh, of course it's
yours. Such an idiot.
Stupid question.
Really? Such a dumb question.
She's like, I've been next to you like a fucking shadow for the last 3 episodes. Yeah. Of course it's yours.
Yeah, so Kofun gets upset that the queen used him to get her knocked up, and Queen Kane offers to let Kofun kill her if he's truly upset. Kofun starts strangling his baby mama, but eventually Kofun's out because, well, he's Kofun.
Because he's weak.
Uh-huh. And she calls it. She just gives it to him straight. And she's like, listen, you are a weak man.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, Queen Kane then calls him a weak man and that it's time for him to be strong and to claim his son eventually. Mm-hmm. She says Driller Morell was the same way and thought he could run off and start his own world on his own, but that the world still belongs to the unsighted and only the queen can lift it out of darkness. Kofun gives into the deadbeat dad stereotype and says he's nobody's father. Queen Kane points out that if he abandons his kid, he's no better than Driller Morell. As Kofun runs away, Queen Kane yells after him to claim his son before he dies in battle.
I love this scene, and you don't even see it, but you can hear. Like, we keep talking about the fact that Sylvia Hoax, the actress that's playing Queen Kane, she has such a distinctive voice. Mm-hmm. And as Kofun is running down the stairs, the camera is on Kofun, and you can hear her screeching.
Be a fucking man.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, that was powerful. That was a powerful moment. But yeah,
all the palace guards are like,
yeah, exactly. That's okay. So,
Pensa doesn't have the best palace guards, in case you haven't seen.
This is the thing that I wanted to talk about, because I saw this scene and I'm like, okay, so the scene needed to happen. They needed to have that confrontation. I wasn't a huge fan of how it went down, the whole like, go ahead and strangle me if you want. Like, I thought that was weird. But what was weirder was that there's two guards.
I can imagine, you know, like a Joe Bob goes back to his wood hut, tells his wife, man, you wouldn't believe the shit that went down in the palace today.
Uh-huh. Like, you know, like, are they even guarding her?
It's like, it was like, crazy.
Hey, we have this guy. We're guarding this person. We're not allowed. I'm assuming they're told, no, don't let anybody kill her. And then they just stand there and they're like,
he's got a rope
around her neck. And they're just like, no big deal. We're good. It's they're just having a little family moment.
Yeah. I was really like when Kofun was like, is the baby mine? I'm just like, oh, come on. Writers, you could come up with something better than that.
Honestly, though, they have not forgotten who Kofun is.
Like, at least he's consistent. Like, yeah.
Let's go back to the drawing board on Kofun. Who is he? Oh, he's stupid. Is that baby mine?
You got me drunk and gave me drugs and used me. Uh-huh. It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
And you're fucking welcome. And
you guys called it too, because it was the last episode. I'm like, I wonder if Queen Kane's being genuine. No, she's freaking using him like
you are a sweet summer child. She could have done the same thing to you.
I had a moment.
You also called it where she did this exact same thing to Driller Morell because Queen Kane basically revealed in this that she was trying to use Driller Morell to get her pregnant, and he just ran off and started putting babies in everything else but her.
Yeah. Is it
because she's a crazy
bitch? Does it worry you at all that I'm so far deep inside Queen Kane's mind?
Oh, when you start putting shivs in your skin, I'll start to worry.
Right.
You have no idea how much she tries to stab me.
Oh, stop. I haven't tried to stab you in a very long time.
You succeeded once.
Greatest day of my life.
All right. What happens next?
All right. So meanwhile, Magra is preparing to march with her family and her troops into battle. But Tamakta Jun rightly points out that's a bad idea and gets her to change her mind. Meanwhile, Baba Voss is in the armory finding all sorts of murder weapons and a badass suit of samurai armor. After getting suited up, old Boo Boo is out sharpening his weapons when Tamakta Jun seeks him out. Tamakta Jun reveals he lost his wife and children in Kanzua, and Baba Voss realizes that they both fight for their families, and their uneasy alliance is furthered. Tamakta Jun says he realizes they're going to lose this fight, and Baba Voss tells him that he's not a soldier, so he's fighting to win.
Yep.
Yep. Cool. All right. That happened.
Cool armor. Can we talk about the meat cleaver with the deer horn?
Yes.
That thing was awesome.
I think he had something very similar to that in the first season.
Oh, I think you're right.
He had it strapped to his wrist and he would use it to like gut people with. Aww. So maybe that's like the other half.
He was
half.
Like, oh, good times.
Yeah.
I want to talk about that crazy ass bear he has hanging over his head. That's some...
The skin that he's got?
Look at these guys.
That's badass.
I think that was the bear that tried to kill the children in the first season.
You think
yeah.
so?
Yeah. I think he skinned it.
Well, he had bear claw necklace in the first season, too, before that happened. So I think he's... That's just like his thing. He's a bear. He's a big bear. Uh-huh. So I get it.
Angry bear.
Yep. Yeah. But one of the funny things was when he was sharpening that meat cleaver that had like the elk horn as the handle, he hands it to Tamakta Jun and he's like... This is heavy and unwieldy. And Baba Voss is just like, yeah, maybe people with small hands.
I'm really liking the relationship.
Oh, God, dude. Baba Voss and Tamakta Jun being like frenemies. All for it. Uh-huh. That dynamic is awesome.
Go ahead.
They're going to have to get it out of their system, though, and beat each other up pretty soon.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, Baba Voss...
Like they don't have to kill each other. They need to knock the shit out of each other at some point,
was
right?
Was it episode one or two where Baba Voss like body slams Tamakta Jun? You remember that?
Episode two.
It was
when they were breaking out.
Yeah. Yeah. He just freaking just slams the guy on the ground.
Because he did tell him earlier a couple episodes ago, it's like, no matter what happens,
I'm going to kill you.
You and I are going to have our moment.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So it's coming.
Yeah. We'll see.
They're allies for now.
Yeah. The enemy of my enemy is my friend kind of a thing going on, which I'm all for it.
Let's talk about dumbass Magra. Yeah, she just became queen and she wants to go die in a war.
Yeah, I was going to say, did anyone else get pissed off that Magra was like, I'm going to go out with my army? And Tamakta Jun's like, if you do.
Get back to your room and put on something queen.
Yeah, you're going to ruin my battle plan. You're going to take away soldiers who are going to try to protect you.
Yeah.
And Magra's like, no, they're not. Yeah. He's like, bitch.
He's like, I know you've been wanting to show off your whistle sword skills, but this is not the time.
I love that he had the balls to do that though.
Yeah.
Like, this is your queen. You've promised to serve her. And you're like, no, sit down, little girl. We're going to go do some bad shit.
Yeah. I know we'll get there, but I really kind of wish that she had that whistle sword next to the bed later on.
used it a little bit, didn't she?
Was that after the pep talk?
No. Before? This was before the pep talk.
Okay.
Yeah. But what was interesting was that, so Tamakta Jun seems kind of like he knows that they're going to lose this battle that's coming up. And he basically admits as much to Baba Voss. And that's one of the reasons why he didn't want Magra to come with him, is because he knows that they're going to get slaughtered. And Baba Voss is just like, well, I think we might win. he's like, I'm in this to win it.
Yeah. Baba Voss is like, I don't know about you, but I'm definitely winning.
Yeah. I'm not dying. I'm going to get out of there.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do we got? 200 people to fight? Yeah, I got this. Yeah. Good. We're all right.
He's basically already 200 people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And an angry bear.
So have we...
I think they'll be fine.
When they get to Green Hill, which I think is a funny name for this show because nobody knows what green is, but...
I assumed it was Greenville, PA.
What do you mean?
I assume that that's...
The town?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm just saying green as the color. Like, they don't know what the color green looks like.
Oh,
so gotcha. They would, like, change the name maybe to not green, but...
Well, there is an actual place called Greenville, PA that I think is relatively close to where we are here.
Yeah. Apparently in season two, like, no other Pennsylvania towns have changed their name in 500 years. Uh-huh. So
it's just...
Well, it's Green Hill now instead of Greenville.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever. Anyway.
Altoona.
When we get there, I got like a 300 Spartan reference when they go to the location. So I'm looking forward to checking this out. All right, everybody. Before we continue on and get super awesome deep into this episode, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Listen to some sponsors. But go ahead, Kadesh. What happens next?
All right. So a nervous Magra prepares to address her troops. She looks to Harlan for advice, but he has none to give. I love that scene where he's just like, I don't got anything for you. Uh-huh. Magra then climbs up next to a highly inaccurate Nittany Lion and gives her Independence Day speech, inspiring her army like no one's ever inspired a blind army facing certain doom before. And there was much tack-tacking. Now, I saw an interview with Tom Meissen, who plays Lord Harlan.
Oh, okay.
And he admitted that Pensa takes place in Penn State University. So PINSA, Penn State,
yep,
makes sense. However, I am an alumni of Penn State University.
He's been upset about this all week.
I really have. Like I lived there for 5 years. I went to college there. I graduated from there. You know, I was on that campus for like a long time, and never once have I watched the show and been like, that's Penn State.
Yeah.
You know, because like Penn State has like huge dormitories and like a whole town around it and stuff like that. So there would have been surviving structures all over PINSA. And I'm getting the sense that the Harlan House is supposed to be Old Main, which is like the main building, main administration building over at Penn State. And when Mauger gives the speech, she climbs up next to the stone lion. And the Nittany Lion, which is the Penn State mascot, is a female, so it doesn't have a mane. And this has like a big mane on it. I'm like, is this a satellite campus? Like, is this someplace I've never been before? Because State College, Pennsylvania, which is where Penn State University is like right smack dab in the middle of the state of Pennsylvania. So it's equidistant from like somewhere like Allegheny and Pittsburgh and stuff like that. It's about 3 hours from Pittsburgh, I'd say, driving. So it makes sense that that would be kind of like where they're located, because it's kind of like centralized within the state. But at the same time, I'm just like, this doesn't feel like Penn State to me.
So do you think they had to make it a little bit different because of 25%, like the 25% rule, so they don't have to pay royalties to Penn State?
I don't know if there's like a royalty thing of using like a stone lion.
You know? I don't know. I feel like there's something legal going on.
I think it would have been funnier if she was like up next to a big stone statue of Joe Paterno giving that speech, you know? So as Temoctejun starts leading his army out of PINSA, Baba Voss asks Paris to do a favor for him. Mauger says goodbye to her children and second husband as they march off to war. Meanwhile, Toad is helping build barricades when Paris finds him. Paris reveals she had Mauger keep him behind to build barricades and asks Toad to accompany her on a trip, ordering him to get his horse ready. Toad leads Paris out into the wilderness, not happy that he isn't joining in the battle. But Paris tells him the war is about Sight returning, not about Trevanti and PINSA. Paris picks a spot to camp for the night, despite there being much daytime left. At night, it's cold, and Toad offers to let Paris sleep with him for warmth. Paris takes him up on the offer and gets all frisky. But before Toad can consummate their relationship, someone with a sword shows up to cockblock them.
You mean like a whole bunch of somebody?
Yeah. What do you guys, what's the theory it's behind this?
It's the Compass Ladies.
It's the Compass?
It's either the Compass Ladies whoever Toad was going out to find to begin with.
Okay.
Gorgeous Ladies of the Compass.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I thought it was funny he's like, I'll be a perfect gentleman.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, well, I'm not going to come over here if you are.
Don't do that.
Them flirting is freaking hilarious to me.
Yeah. Paris is like, it's been a while.
I was like, wow.
They started like grunting and shit. It was weird.
Like, it's like, all right. Old people get it. I can relate to that. That's cool.
Well, in a world without Sight, what is age?
I know, right?
Yeah, really. Yeah. You don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Toad's just like, you smell really good.
Yeah, exactly. As long as she smells good, we're all good to go.
What's that in your dreads?
But it was kind of funny how they just start making out, and then all of a sudden a sword comes up. Yeah. It's just like, ah.
And Toad's all like, there's somebody here.
Quick, put it back in your pants.
Damn it. Cock-blocked.
Paris just thought he was talking about his dick. There's somebody here. Yeah, there is.
He's got a sword in my face. Yeah, you do. All right.
Yeah, Paris is like, put that sword in my face.
All right. That's gross. Moving on.
All right. So at the PINSA camp, Hanawa tries to get Kofun to open up about what's been troubling him, but Kofun just asks her to read him a story from the book she's reading. Classic Kofun.
Uh-huh.
Tell me a story. Can you sing Soft Kitty to me, please?
That's kind of what I got out of that. Yeah, that's a Big Bang Theory reference right there.
Soft Kitty, warm kitty.
By the way, that baby, it's totally mine.
Yeah, this is one of those things where, with Tofu, I'm like, dude, how much of a baby can you be?
Everything they do to like, this poor kid.
Seriously, dude, you're going to cuddle in your sister's lap and have her read stories to you? Like, dude, you're going to war. Uh-huh. What the hell?
Yeah.
It's frustrating because I want to like him. And I'm like, I just don't. I don't like anything that
he
does.
You're not gonna for at least a couple more episodes.
Meanwhile, the writers are in the back going,
what else can we make?
We
this
hate
kid?
This game. We're gonna talk about it. Yeah.
I want Kofun to be like looking at, you know, the not maps of Greenville and being like formulating a strategy and coming up with something smart.
Yeah.
Instead, he's just moping. Like,
I know, but if he did it now it would come out of nowhere and it wouldn't be realistic. He's got to take this whole season to become a bumbling, like trying to get to the point where he's competent.
Adult. Well, we have one episode left. You think he's going to just pull out of his ass in the last episode?
No, I think next season he'll probably find his use.
Okay.
No, I think by the end of season five, we'll find out that he's a good cook or something.
Yeah, he goes to scent chef school.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, that's a mango. I can do something with that in a box of oatmeal. Let's do it, you know? So
yeah. He's really good at putting puzzles together.
Yeah.
They're so mean to that poor kid. All right. What happens next?
All right. So back at Pensa, the men Ito hired sneak into the palace, killing all the guards who have to be the worst palace guard on the planet. The
worst palace guard.
Yeah. The assassins make their way toward Magra's room, but Magra is ready for them since super hearing alerted her to all the guard deaths. And rather than alerting the guards outside her door not to get murdered, she uses her whistle sword to take out one of the assassins. The badass assassin starts beating the shit out of Magra, but Harlan comes in to save her and gets his ass kicked. The assassin stabs Harlan in the gut with a fireplace poker and is about to kill Magra when Magra finds her tuning fork and kills the assassin by stabbing him through the eye and into the brain. She rushes over to Harlan, who is luckily still alive, but he's in very bad shape. When she calls for the palace guards, the same palace guards who were just murdered, she tries to keep Harlan from bleeding out.
Dude, so she did have her whistle sword?
Yeah, for a second.
Okay. Yeah, she used the whistle sword to kill the first assassin.
Okay. Which,
this is really funny to me because she was about ready to run off into war, and then she can't take one dude in her own bedroom with her own whistle sword. Like, she's, Tamaki June made the right call.
It was also classic asshole Magra who just, like, lets people get murdered before, like, she reveals, like, all of her plans.
Right.
Because it was like, you know, she let the entire Alcony get murdered instead of revealing that she's a princess. And
classic
now,
Magra.
Yeah, yeah. And now it's, instead of going to the guards at her door and being like, hey, Watch out. She just lets them get murdered. And instead, she's just like pouring water on the floor so she can like hear people like splashing like when they come in. Mm. And she didn't even know at this point, like, you know, someone was coming to murder her, that she just had a suspicion. And it was just like, oh, come on, Magra. Mm. But if they had killed Harlan, I would have been done with the show. I'd have been like, oh, fuck this show. I'm not watching anymore.
Dude, Harlan's, if he dies, he's like the freaking coolest character in this season, or the newest character. Well, that is,
yeah, but we all like him.
He's awesome. And his sarcasm, he adds such a great element to the show. If they freaking kill him off, I'm gonna be so freaking pissed.
Yeah, and you know, when it comes to Harlan, I'm like, you know, Magra doesn't want to have sex with him. She got his brother killed, and now she got him stabbed. And it's like, what does he see in this chick again?
Look, they have a history.
I feel like they're in an abusive relationship.
I'm sensing that there's some actual something going.
You think she's going to drop Baba Voss for...
No, but I feel like there's some kind of weird something.
Brother-husband.
Yeah, I don't know what...
Yeah, I mean, they are technically married.
So. Yeah.
She cares for him.
Yeah, sure. Well, yeah, they made that...
You know what I mean?
They grew up together.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. So. But I was very...
If Harlan's going to die, it needs to be at the hand of Baba Voss.
Mm.
Just the head. Gone. You know, so...
This is the second time I was on the edge of my seat this episode. First was when Queen Cain almost got her head chopped off. And then when they stabbed Harlan, I was like, no, don't kill him.
Yeah. Like Harlan's like probably my favorite character right now. And like, if they had killed him, I'd have been like walked away. Yeah. I'd have walked away.
All right. What happens next?
All right. So the next day, the Pensan soldiers finally make it to Fort Greenhill Gap. They have 160 fighters who can fight the Trevantians in the narrow trenches of the fort, equalizing their members. But before they can get fortified, Ito Voss and his army arrives. When Team Baba Voss surveys the opposing army, they discover that it is much larger than the estimated 250. Tamaktajun's Ayura counts 350 Trevantians, and it seems like the Pensans are truly fucked.
So, Ayura, is that just a title?
It's
a superpower.
It's the word for the people who can hear really good.
Okay, good. Because that means that the other, our favorite albino guy, is not gone or recast. Because for a minute, I thought he was recast as this person.
No.
And I'm like, oh, man. And then,
well, Magra's also in Ayura.
Yeah. So I'm glad that it's just a title and we can still get that.
It's like a sentier.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, cool. I was worried there for a minute. I was like, oh, they didn't recast him, did they? No, we're good.
It's Presage. Sentier, Ayura. I'm saying it. That's it.
That's it. Yeah.
I think there's more, but yeah,
maybe.
And Witchfinder and Shadow.
Yeah.
I wonder what they call people who can taste stuff really well.
Mm. You know, that's an interesting thing. Like, what if Queen Kane had like one of those persons who like eats their food first to make sure they're not poisoned?
And can taste the poison?
Yeah. That's poison. Just fall over.
Tastier.
Yeah, tastier. Sure. Let's do with that.
Tastier.
No, it'll be something fucking weird.
Yeah.
Like tongue diameter.
Yeah, the show has to make some unpronounceable word for it.
Yeah. Oh my God. I lost it again. Iura?
Iura.
Iura is the fucking hardest thing for me to say.
It probably, it's hard for everyone.
It probably has some meaning in like some Greek word or something. So
it actually just means hearing. Yeah. All right, Kadesh, go ahead. Well,
sommelier is one of those people who can like taste wine and stuff like that. So maybe it'd be like tastier or tonguier or something. Taste buddier. Who knows? All right. So when Ren sees that the Pensan army has arrived earlier than anticipated, she sees Baba Voss and her ex, and Hanawa sees her. In a desperate attempt to broker a peace, Hanawa gives a parley to Ren, who rushes out to meet her. Rinawa is united once again in the middle of the battlefield. Hanawa tells her girlfriend that it was Queen Kane who attacked the Trevantians at the peace talks and that Queen Kane has been deposed. But Ren says it's too late and Ito won't listen to her. Just as the war drums beat, Ren gives Hanawa a kiss and her shield and tells her to run, just as the Trevantians unleash a hail of fire arrows, officially starting the Battle of Greenhill Gap.
Ooh. Yeah. Oh, I like that.
That's good. I like that.
This was, I'm glad that they got to chat for a minute.
Mm-hmm. And I needed them to make up.
Yeah, something needed to happen there. And I really want to see them like meet on the battlefield and have to like protect each other or decide what to do, or maybe Ito's trying to kill Hanawa and Ren has to stop him. Something. I need
like
something.
All of that.
Yeah, all of it. I need all of it to happen. But this, what got me kind of nerding out about this is it kind of felt like a Battle of the Bastards reference.
Yes.
Where she's got,
I said the same thing.
She's got her shield and she's running and you just see the freaking hail of arrows coming down.
The build up for this scene was really well done. Like, first of all, they go out there, they see that the army is like way bigger than they first expected. Everyone's like, oh shit.
Yep.
Then Hanawa, in a desperate attempt to try to avoid the battle, she goes, so he gets reunited with Ren. And then just as, you know, they're meeting those archers, which have been set up since season one as Ito Voss's blind archers. Mm-hmm. They all unleash like a hail of fire arrows that like block out the sky 300 style as Hanawa is like running away.
Yep.
I turned to Judah. I was like, you know, Kofun's just sitting there staring at them, not warning anyone around him that they're coming.
He's like, oh shit.
Oh, wow.
Oh, arrows.
I wonder what they do.
Oh, that's pretty.
We're so mean to that dude, man.
But you know, that's what he's doing. This is the guy who gets snuck up on by blind people.
I know.
He should be like tapping, you know, Baba Voss on the shoulder. Like, hey man, we gotta get out
of
here.
Dad,
there's arrows, like these things arrows coming at us. They look kind of sharp.
they're on fire.
Baba Voss already knows.
Oh yeah.
He can hear it.
Oh well, yeah. As soon as you,
Baba Voss is the one who is grabbing Kofun by the scruff of his neck.
Let's go, son.
And pulling him out of the way.
Well, remember in season one where he like just takes that pickaxe and just hurls it at the archer and the guy just falls out of the out of the cliff.
Yeah. Baba Voss knows what's up.
Baba Voss is a badass.
And you know Tamakta Jun hears it too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean everybody, all the warriors, the Witchfinder army, they've got to know the tactics. They know what's going on. All right, guys. Now we're left with Jude's fashion report. Take it away, Jude.
Tamakta Jun makes his triumphant return to court in true glow-up form. Not only has he risen from the dead, he's got freshly sculpted facial markings, a pristine beard blowout, sick new armor, and a shiny new bloodlust. But alas, is stopped just short of taking Sibbeth's lying little head. Not to worry, though, he'll get his blood. The cries of his Witchfinder army can be heard chanting tuck, tuck, tuck outside the castle, because tuck, tuck is the new Chet Chet, and we're tucked, locked, and ready to rock this war. Baba Voss walked into the armory an ill-mannered mountain man and walked out an ill-mannered knight in copper armor. Looking like a top-notch champ, he stands out and off to the side with his meat cleaver exuding, I don't even need this, swagger. Look the fuck out and bow the fuck down. There's a new Queen Kane in town. Baby sis is all growed up and stepping into this war with bells and whistles, making several wardrobe changes just to let the people know she's down for whatever. Our new queen switches up her royal court quilted toilet paper gown for a more battle-ready look with slacks, sleek leather, and her trusty whistle sword. She's ready to fight with the people, but is sent right back to her room to change by Daddy June. She puts her sword away, pops those bells on, and throws on the sickest coat I've ever sensed. Rose-colored sheep hair drapes her shoulders over a black and white floor-length circle-patterned trench coat as she climbs a lion statue to address her army. And as if her look wasn't enough to bless and inspire, she sends the troops off to war, reminding them of what they're really fighting for: fashion. And this has been the C Fashion Report, reminding you, you're still a vision, even if they can't see you. Until next, Chet.
So the next episode is the season finale. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be wrapping up some of the story threads here and probably setting up new ones for the next season. What are your predictions for the season finale?
I think we're going to lose a lot of... I think Payan's going to lose. I think the Trevanti's army is going to just freaking wipe the floor with them. And it's going to end up where only the main characters who have plot armor are going to escape. And we're going to get that confrontation between Ito and Baba on the bridge that we see in the trailers. And everybody else is kind of be on the run. And it's going to be like, we got to, Harlan's hurt. All their guards are dead. There's nobody left. I think they're going to flee. I think they're going to have to run and relocate somewhere else away from Trevanti's. And Trevanti's is going to just move into it.
I don't even know what to say. I have no idea where this is coming. I really don't.
I think that the Ladies of the Compass are going to swoop in just like the Knights of the Vale. And I do think that Pensa's going to win. I think we're going to see the two brothers fight in this next episode. Because I don't think Dave Bautista is in season 3.
I don't think so either.
I think that the queen is probably going to escape and make her way to the Gannites.
Oh, you think she's going to get out of her little jail cell? Mm-hmm. You think one of the assassins that Ito sent? No, they would have wanted her dead. Mm-mm. Never mind. Okay.
No, but I think maybe the guards that are outside her room, I think she'll probably convince them.
Okay.
Just to help her escape.
Right on. Kadesh, what about you?
All right. So I do think that the Ladies of the Compass are going to show up to protect Hanawa and Kofun. I think that the Pensan army is going to retreat. I think that Ren is eventually going to have to betray Ito Voss in order to save Hanawa. Mm-hmm. I think that we're going to see a showdown between Ito and Baba Voss, but Baba Voss isn't going to kill him. Kofun is. Who's going to come in at the last minute and kill Ito in order to save his father. Hmm. I think that Queen Cain is going to escape somehow, and we're going to reveal that she meets up with the Gannites in some way, shape, or form. And we're going to get to the House of Enlightenment, and David Hewlett is going to reveal that he's found a cure for blindness. And that's going to be the cliffhanger.
If Kofun kills Ito, it's going to be by accident.
Yeah, I don't see him taking down Ito Voss anytime, any realistic way. It's got to be like a sneak attack or maybe...
Well, no, I think that Baba Voss is going to defeat Ito, but instead of delivering the killing blow, he's going to turn his back and leave him alive. And then Kofun's going to swoop in and be like, yoink, and like kill him.
I got him, Dad.
Yeah.
All right, guys, this is what's going to happen for the next couple of weeks. As Matt Vader here has got some family business to take care of next week, so he's not going to be here for the season finale, so we are not going to do it without him. Instead, we have an exclusive interview with Christian Camargo, who plays Tumak Dejune. That's going to be replacing our season finale episode next week, and then the season finale review will be the week after that when Vader's back in the seat, because we can't do it without him, guys. It has to be all four of us. If it doesn't have all four of us, it just doesn't work.
He's our Witchfinder General.
I can dig
that. Can't go to war without him.
So anyway, that's the plan for the following content coming up in the next couple of weeks, guys. Thank you so much for watching our stuff. Don't forget to like and subscribe and share this with your friends and let them know that C is an awesome show and they should watch it. Matt Vader, where can they find you on the socials?
I'm not here next week. No, you can find me at Matt Vader 74 on Twitter.
Twitch.
Twitter. Not really. I'm not really YouTube. Doing Twitch much. Instagram. Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok.
Cool. Yeah. Jude, where can they find you at?
Same places.
Okay, cool.
You can find me at I am Jude Juju on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter.
All right. And Matthew Kadesh.
You can find me at Matthew Kadish, K-A-D-I-S-H on Twitter, and KadishBooks.com takes you to my Amazon page.
And I'm your host, Alex the Salty Nerd. You guys can catch me on our Discord app, SaltyNerdDiscord.com. And if you want to become a club member and get exclusive access to 4 podcasts every single month, along with a bunch of other stuff and a backlog of like 2 years of extra content, go to SaltyNerdClub.com, join the club membership, and help support us so we can make awesome content for you. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. And tack, tack.
Tack, tack, tack. Tack, tack. Thank you.